Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, and Happy New Year. It is New Year's Eve, the last day of 2016, and tomorrow is a new year. And you know, I think it's a new year in a lot of ways. So this show tonight, or actually this morning, is going to be, number one, what I promised last week. We're going to go over my prognostications for the 2016 year ending today, December 31st, and we're going to be scoring your erstwhile host here on how well he did on those prognostications. And this is kind of an annual event, or it's become an annual event for you folks that listen. And I appreciate, by the way, the listenership, which I might add, just as an aside, has grown almost 100% this year. I want to thank all you listeners out there. We have now we are now over 500,000 listeners. That's well, hopefully I'm making a difference. How's that? I'll leave it at that. But thank you all for spending the time to listen to me yak, to listen to me present you dots and give you my ideas on their connections, because there are no coincidences out there, folks. There are no coincidences whatsoever. So that's one thing we're going to be doing in the show. The second thing is, and this is kind of a weekly event now, since a few weeks after the November 8th election, when Obama said how smooth he was going to make this transition for President-elect Trump, and you know the peaceful transfer of power and blah, 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 blah. You know, boy, just more lies, lying liars. So I want to give you his antics of the past week, which really are getting, like, more and more serious. I have told you for a year that this year, 2016, and particularly the latter half of 2016, would be the most dangerous in American history in a century, if not forever. And now that Hillary Clinton has lost, and the Democrats, the progressives, excuse me, there are no Democrats, there are only progressives. Now that the progressives have realized that she lost, and they have thrown their electoral college spaghetti, and their recount spaghetti, and their delegitimization of the election results spaghetti, and the popular vote versus the electoral college spaghetti at the wall, and it's all failed. They're in a panic mode, and they're in a panic mode because they're about to be dismantled. Not they, although they are a byproduct of the dismantling, but their policies, their anti-American, ceaseless anti-American stance, acts and lack of acts for the past 8 years. In fact, the past 40, but particularly the past 8. So we're gonna go over that because that's a weekly deal, and it's going to. Barack Obama, my friend Barry, and your friend Barry, he's really kind of outdoing himself. I mean, he's getting crazier and crazier. And it's number one, desperation. It's number two, narcissistic infatuation and preoccupation with himself, his policies, and ideology. It's number three, his absolute unwavering ideological, fanaticism would be the word, fanaticism, in terms of radical jihad and his support. And I'll maintain this again. Listen to my show last week. I mean, I kind of took off the gloves. I've called him, at the least, a vehement Muslim sympathizer. No, this man is a Muslim. He is much more than a Muslim sympathizer. And his acts and lack of acts over the past few weeks, throwing Hillary Clinton under the bus, Israel under the bus, the Jewish vote, the hell with the Democratic Party, under the bus, America's security under the bus, the safety of your family and yourself under the bus. Listen, you can't have all these dots and not connect the line and come up with the result that I've come up with. You just can't. But we'll be getting into that in the show. Then I'm going to give you my forecast for the upcoming year, the year 2017. And, of course, at the end of 2017, we'll get to grade me again. What fun. I'm going to tell you some things. You know, this forecast for 2017 is going to be a little bit different than the forecasts I've done in the past, which have been pretty much factual. But I'm going to play a little mental three-dimensional chess with you in the 2017 forecast, because there's going to be a lot of not so much nuanced, but interrelated, interwoven things going on in America and the world. And it's because of the Trump election. And it's because of the people he is staffing his cabinet with, which are let me tell you, this is a set of tough cats. Okay? This is not Ben Rhodes. This is not Susan Rice, Lion Susan Rice, and devious Ben Rhodes. This is not Valerie Jarrett, you know, Muslim born in Iran, Tehran. This is really a bunch of tough folks. And you're going to see that manifested in a whole bunch of ways, domestically and internationally and economically, which are going to have profound changes. Understand that Donald Trump and his cabinet have the chance to shape America more so than Barack Obama ever had the opportunity to do. And they have the chance to shape America because they, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, will have put in place a conservative Supreme Court for at least a generation. They will have put in place a conservative judiciary that will almost completely undo, at least to the extent it can be undone, the damage that Barack Obama did with his progressive appointments to the appeals courts and to the United States District Courts. There are 100 district court openings right now. In other words, when Donald Trump hits the Oval Office, he will be appointing 100 federal judges. In the first 3 months of his administration, he will appoint one-third, give or take, of the federal judges that Barry Obama got to appoint in 8 years. This is a big deal. This is really a big deal. And I'm going to also give you some prognostications looking forward 2 years to the 2018 election and how that election and the mistakes that the progressives are going to continue to make, because, you know, their poop doesn't stink in their minds. They don't have stinky poop. They don't put on their pants legs one at a time. They're above that. They're going to continue the downward spiral they have begun. You can't write them off. They'll be back. But they're going to take steps. They're going to say things. They're going to do things as Barry has done over the last week, and which many progressives have been stupid enough to defend, that are going to continue to coalesce what I call the populist national movement that Donald Trump has begun, that you've seen in the Quitely vote, which I talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the show, in the Brexit vote, which occurred this summer, and in other upcoming anti-globalist movements around the planet. So, anyway, let's get started, shall we? Number one, Let's talk about Barry. Let's talk about Barry's continuing falsehoods about the smooth transition. Number one, there's reports coming out. You can read the articles under the Hill and several of the other truly middle of the road, great reporting web newspapers that the Obama transition team is doing everything they can to undermine the Trump transition team. Instead of turning over papers, turning over the reins of government, acquainting the incoming Trump folks with the mechanics and the logistics, they're instead spending hours lecturing them on the importance of climate control. They are giving them only partial files. They are giving them incomplete partial files. And they're giving them false and partial information. They're doing everything they can to delay the Trump presidency, or shall we say the full exercise of power of the Trump presidency, because the progressives think that time is on their side. If they can delay this guy, particularly for the first 6 to 9 months of the quote-unquote honeymoon period, he will get less accomplished. He will tear down less of the mess they've created. It's one of the things that Barry is doing in this flurry of outrageous actions over the last several weeks, and particularly the last 2 weeks. The more mess he can create, the more time and energy it misdirects or redirects, he believes, from the Trump team. One of the things that these folks don't get, because you see they're not the mindset of a Trump or a Trump team, is that a businessman deals with problems every day. Setbacks, surprises, twists, turns, unanticipated events. I know I'm a businessman. Many of you who listen to me are businessmen or women. Nothing ever goes smoothly. The unanticipated always occurs. The difference between being good and being a failure is how you handle those inevitable twists and turns. And I think Trump will handle these. I mean, yes, there will be some delays, and there's going to be some, when you have to jump over the log rather than walking down the path, it takes you some more time and takes you some more energy. But the bottom line is Trump will appoint people to get around all this mess. I think it's going to be cleared up much faster than the progressives think, because they have not dealt with a mentality, or should I say a set of mentalities, like you see in the Trump administration, you see emerging in the Trump administration. But let's talk about Barry, baby. So Barry is jumping up and down, and he slaps sanctions, quote unquote sanctions, on Russia. okay, 35 of you diplomats, you get the hell out of Dodge. That's supposed to be a real slap in the face. Vladimir Putin laughs and says, it's not even worth responding to. And I want you to think about this, because it's a window into the progressive mindset. So after 8 years of Russia basically taking the reset, Hillary's reset button, and saying shove it, of Barry backing down 8 years ago and removing the missile shield defense from Poland and Czechoslovakia, with Russia giving nothing, with the United States caving in on the revision of the START treaty, which basically allowed Russia to upgrade its nuclear arms, America couldn't upgrade its nuclear arms, and Russia to have 400 more nuclear warheads than the United States. Then the invasion of the Crimea, America does nothing. America fails and refuses for 2 years to arm the Ukrainians despite their pleas for help. Instead of sending them guns and bullets, we send them blankets. I guess they're going to throw blankets at the Russian soldiers. Maybe they're going to cover the turrets of the Russian tanks with blankets so they can't see where they're driving. Who knows? Then in the Mideast, Obama cedes all power to Russia. Russia, who has not been a player in the Mideast for 40 years, and whose interests are absolutely the opposite, contrary, and adverse to American interests in the Mideast, is suddenly a major player thanks to Barry Obama, Ben Rhodes, Susan Rice, and the rest of the progressive treasonous morons. He allows 500,000 people to be slaughtered by Assad and the Russians and ISIS. He allows the Russians to skate on actually attacking ISIS and instead does nothing when they attack the supposed anti-Assad forces that supposedly we trained and armed. Of course, the hearing said that we trained five guys for $500 million. You don't believe it? Google it up. I mean, it's unbelievable, but it's true. And then, you know, on top of that, we now find out, because there's been a FBI DHS report, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, we now find out that Russian hacking has been going on for years, and it began to be particularly intense in early 2015. Now, folks, that's 2 years ago. 2 years ago. We have taken no steps to offset the Russian assault on the dollar. Remember, I've talked about this on several shows. You can put it in the search bar. You can put it in U.S. dollar, new world currency, Russia and the United States dollar. Any of those will bring up shows for you. Russia and China are trying to take out the United States dollar as reserve currency of the world. You know, in the end, war is economics. It's not just military might. It's not just the number of men that you have in the field. It's not just the capabilities of your fighting units. It's who has the biggest economy and the most money. It's one of the reasons the Confederacy lost the war. You know, I'm working on book 6 of the Threads West series, Blood of Glory at a Pass. And guess what? Gettysburg was not the decisive battle of the Civil War. Glorieta Pass, and this will be the first book, by the way, specifically on this battle that I can find. Glorieta Pass, the only major Civil War battle in the West, was the decisive battle of the Civil War. Because the Confederates, their whole mission was to seize the gold fields at Pike's Peak to support a currency which was collapsing. And had they been successful, the Confederacy likely would have won the Civil War. So economy is strategic and important. And the fact that Barry and crew have done nothing to block, sidestep, or offset Chinese and Russian and international and globalist attacks on the United States dollar as a reserve currency, including the creation of the SDRs, which I talked about in the show about 2 months ago. Put an SDR into the search bar. All these many, many, shall we say, turn the other cheek to Russian aggression, whether it's economic, international, military, outright invasion of another country, which is an ally of the United States. We don't do anything. The only time Barry takes any steps to slap Russia on the wrist, if you want to call it, it's more like a mosquito bite, is when his party's emails are released, and the emails, shall we say, are unflattering. In fact, why don't we just say the emails expose deeply entrenched corruption, devious intent, outright lies to the American public, and an absolute disregard for the health, safety, and welfare of the American people. That's what those emails represent. And they don't result from hacking, folks. They result from actually a mistake at the DNC where an upper-level staffman inadvertently put in the password on a fishing expedition That's P-H-I-S-I-N-G. You know, it's kind of an attempt at a hack on a phishing expedition by either Russian or WikiLeaks or other agents. I am of the personal opinion that these emails came from a DNC leak. In fact, if we take all the dots and you go back to my shows about 3-4 months ago, you can type in Hillary 47 deaths or Hillary 47 club members. You know, I used to be close to Hillary and Bill, and now I'm dead club. Do you remember that poor guy that was murdered in D.C.? He was a fairly high level, you know, middle high level DNC staffer, and he was killed in Washington D.C. in kind of a remote area, if there is such a thing. And the official version was it was a robbery attempt, except all the money was in his wallet. There were no credit cards missing. They didn't even take his cell phone. And then you couple that with the dot that Julian Assange said specifically it was not a Russian hack. Then you couple that with the fact that WikiLeaks posted a $20,000 reward for any information leading to information about this poor DNC staffer's death. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I can't connect all those dots, I'm not even sure Russia released these emails. In fact, I think the whole thing is contrived. But whether or not it's contrived, I'm going to say thank you, Russia. Thank you, WikiLeaks. Thank you, DNC staffer. Thank you, whoever released the truth. These are not emails, folks. This is what everybody's missing in the media while they talk about Russia this and Russia that. Once again, the progressives have magically created the dialogue, right? If you control words, you control speech. And if you can control speech, you control thought. And if you control thought, you control perception. And if you control perception, you control information. And then you can control people's acts and lack of acts. It's that simple. So the progressives have once again been successful in talking about Russian hacking of the election. I mean, that's the phrase. Russian hacking of the election. Russian hacking of the voting. None of that happened. In fact, I'm fairly convinced it was not Russian, or at least a large portion of it was not Russian. I think it was an inside job at the DNC. And I think that that poor guy is dead. The victim of a robbery attempt where the robbers killed him but didn't take his money. You know, that kind of robbery attempt. Whatever it is, the word should not be emails. The word should not be DNC information. The word should be the truth, because whoever let that stuff out through WikiLeaks, whoever did it, what they did for the American public was to give them the truth that the media should have uncovered and reported on, but did not, would not, could not, and didn't want to, and the truth that those people involved, the higher-ups in the Progressive Party, i.e. the Democrats, Barry Obama himself, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, they shouldn't have lied to us. Because in the truth that was released is the absolute truth that they lied. Repeatedly, incessantly, intentionally, and with absolute disregard, some could say treasonous disregard, of American interests, American values, American security, and the health, safety, and welfare of you and me. Because you know what? You and me, we're the Bubbas. We are the irredeemable deplorables. We are the bitter clingers. And we don't count. and they couldn't care less. In fact, I'm not even sure they could care less about their progressive constituency, never mind us deplorables. So after all this crap with Russia, Barry Obama finally, after 8 years, gets pissed off enough to sanction Russia by throwing 35 diplomats out of the country. Hoo-wee! Man, wow. If I was Vladimir, I'd be shaking in my little Kremlin boots, wouldn't you? Anyway, in addition, in the last 2 weeks, Barry's been very busy. You already know about the Israeli vote in the UN. And trust me, what will come out is that the United States engineered that vote, engineered that resolution. It was intentional and it was planned, in fact, to happen whether or not Trump got elected. Because the feeling, of course, of the progressives were that they couldn't lose. Therefore, this was going to happen. Barry was going to do it. He would take all the heat, and Hillary would just continue the anti-Israeli policy. That's really what was going on here. The fact that Trump got elected just made it kind of, should we say, more fun for Barry to do. He wasn't just throwing out something that his predecessor could run with in his third term, as he termed Hillary's candidacy. He's now throwing out something which is a kind of a roadblock, a log to jump in the forest for the predecessor he didn't plan on and can't stand. Okay, he's issued hundreds and hundreds of regulations in the last week. He has taken 115 million acres, both in the Arctic and on the Atlantic shelf, out of drilling, put it off limits to drilling. By the way, this is with programs already in place, leases signed, you name it. He's done the same with federal lands, although you haven't heard about that. If you go back to my show, I think it was 4 or 5, we put in BLM leases in the search bar, and I had a segment on what he's done with companies who have actually have leases, signed leases, through the Department of Interior and the Department of Agriculture on BLM and forest lands that Barry unilaterally canceled. Now, these companies probably have a claim, but that's besides the point. In addition, okay, with these midnight regulations, by the way, midnight regulations are regulations, this is an actual term, political term, which are enacted by a president between the time of the election and the time of the inauguration of the replacement president. They're called midnight regulations. And Barry has gone whole hog on midnight regulations. I mean, you've heard about Israel, and you've probably heard about the ban on the Arctic and Atlantic shelf drilling, which, by the way, was 115 million acres off Alaska and 3.8 million acres off the American Atlantic coast. Then he tries to, I didn't tell you this when we were talking about that, within the executive order, which illegally does that, he actually puts a clause in. This is how outrageous these people are, that says that this executive action is not legally challengeable. I want you to think about that. You do an illegal executive order, and within the executive order, you say it's not legally challengeable. I mean, these people are really quite full of themselves. Do you understand the irony in that? Okay. He closed down the Dakota Access Pipeline, as you know, 2 weeks ago, a project that was 95% complete. Last week, although you didn't hear about this in the mainstream press, gee, big surprise, the mainstream press didn't tell us. Oh, my God. They must have just forgotten. You know, they were so excited about opening Christmas presents under the tree, you know, which would be like Trump's latest tweets. That would be their Christmas presents. They forgot to tell us about this little regulation on coal, which Obama issued just last week, which is scheduled to take effect January 19th. That's the day before the inauguration. And literally would put Well, it would result in a loss of 50% of the current jobs in coal, which are down 50%, and would basically stop coal mining in the United States. So he's issued a regulation to take place the day before Trump is inaugurated. You can't make this stuff up. The Department of Labor, he's insisted that the Department of Labor slap regulations on the business of giving retirement advice. Now, not only does that create lots of litigation possibilities, and of course, guess who gives a lot of money to the Democratic, i.e. Progressive Party? Oh, yeah, those guys, I think they're called, the American Trial Lawyers Association. I'm sure there's no connection between this regulation, which is designed to, like, nuclear mushroom litigation, and the American Trial Lawyers Association giving money to the Democrats. There's no connection here. But what it does do, because they don't care about us, is it makes investment advisors very leery. In fact, they'll just say no to giving the middle class, the people who really need some advice, you won't be able to get any advice. You know, it's kind of like Obamacare. You get the insurance card, but there's no doctor that will honor it. Good luck with your health and your welfare. Oh, and let's see what else he did here. Oh, new regulations on methane gas, which, of course, affects industries across the board. Renewable fuel standards. Oh, yeah, we're back in the climate change deal here. Commodity speculation. Immigrant workers. For-profit colleges. Workplace hazards. Gun sellers. Nutrition labels. Energy efficiency. This is just a couple of the things he has rolled off his desk in the last week, all of which, of course, I think Trump will undo. Let's see. He wasn't done, by the way. That was kind of Monday's work. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so far he's let loose, as you know, 175 Guantanamo terrorists. He's now going to release another 19 by January 20th, Trump's inauguration. Great. You already know, because I talked about it last week and the week before, he junked the National Security Anti-Terror Program that tracked visitors from countries that harbor terrorist groups. He junked the registry of Muslim terrorist operatives and or suspects. Basically, he's going to force Trump to rebuild those programs from scratch, putting us all at extreme risk, I might add. And, let's see. Oh, here's that report from The Hill. Providing the Trump transition team with, quote, skewed or incomplete information, quote, along with lectures about their duties on climate change, unquote. I guess that's Barry's idea of a smooth transition. Cool. He's terrific. And by the way, the resolution he allowed to pass at the Security Council makes peace in the Mideast just about impossible. Do you remember Trump trumpeting, a little alliteration there, about it would be a tough deal, but he would affect peace in the Middle East? Well, Barry has now ensured, number one, that his buddies in Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, which, by the way, is the Palestinians. I mean, that's where they came from, the PLO. Remember Yasser Arafat? He's now ensured that the Palestinians have the upper hand. Israel's deprived of negotiating fodder, i.e. the lands, because obviously you can't give back what you occupy illegally, right? That's not really a bargaining chip. He has, you know, one of the things the mainstream press hasn't told you, I'm going to step back just a minute, is that many of these settlements, these are not shanty towns, folks. These are not, you know, folks with camels and tents out there in the middle of the desert. These are thriving cities with universities, hospitals, industrial centers, which, by the way, employ Arabs, Palestinians, and Jews. These are entire towns, which would be the envy of many of the towns in the Rust Belt in the United States. That is the settlement, quote unquote, in the occupied, quote unquote, territories, quote unquote. Last time I checked, of course, maybe this is why Barry likes La Raza and La Raza's idea of giving back California, Nevada, and New Mexico to Mexico, you know, which America won in the 1848 Mexican-American War. In Barry's mind, that's colonialism. And in his mind, Israel annexing lands that they won in battles which they didn't start is colonialism. Understand, and I've done many shows on this, that Barry is absolutely an anti-colonial human being. And in his mind, Arab terrorists, ISIS, the Palestinians, are freedom fighters fighting against the colonial powers. You must understand where this man comes from. He comes from a place, forget his rhetoric, because it's all lies. Forget his control of words, because it's all subterfuge and red herring. This man is at heart, an anti-Western, anti-American, in his mind, quote-unquote, anti-colonial, quote-unquote, beast. That's what he is. To the very bitter end. All right. I think I've kind of made my point here, so I'm not going to beat it to death. There's a list of other things he's done in the past week, but I think you get the point. He's doing everything in his power to make this transition the opposite of smooth. He's doing everything in his power to undermine and suck the time and energy of the incoming Trump administration. And he's doing everything in his power, including in the last few days, tampering with Obamacare and trying to make that, like, not repealable. He's doing everything in his power to, number one, justify his own last 8 years of playing golf. And number two, to slow down the Trumps. And number three, because in his heart of hearts, you got to understand this, he believes he's right. And he really does believe that his vision, as he calls it, is the vision that anybody with any intelligence whatsoever would support unequivocally going forward. He absolutely believes this. And the means justifies the end. If he has to lie and cheat and steal to get it done, he will. Because, you know, it's the best for us because he says so. Now, let's get into my prognostications for 2016. And we'll give myself a... We'll all kind of chime in and huddle around the radio or huddle around your computer if you're listening to the podcast. And we'll give Reedy a score. We'll give the Wyoming Hayseed the score for 2016 predictions. Number one, I said terror will increase, particularly overseas, but you would also see an increase in terror in the United States. And the EU would begin to unravel. Not only because of immigration, but because of increased terror and the pressure that would put on governments. I would give myself an A+ on that, unfortunately. I predicted, and by the way, these predictions were made not only in my last New Year's show, which you can certainly tune into, but in the three or four shows leading up to it. So I'm being ultra fair here. I'm not just including my predictions of the last show of 2015, but the several shows leading up to it, because it was kind of an amalgamation. I said Syria would continue to deteriorate. You'd see increased mass atrocities, and you'd see another 100,000 dead or wounded. Unfortunately, my numbers were low. there's been more than 100,000 human beings slaughtered by the policies of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and that pathetic excuse of a Secretary of State, John Kerry, in the last year. Israel would be thrown under the bus by the Obama administration. Gee. Unfortunately, that has occurred in spades and has absolutely come to fruition, full fruition, just in the past week with the United Nations debacle. You would see increased and rampant regulations. Well, I just went through that for you. I was one of the few folks in radio land, in media land, actually, who said from the time Trump came down that escalator that he would win this election. And, you know, it was not that I'm prescient. It was not that I have any crystal ball. Let me tell you what it is. You know, in the course of a year, I signed lots of books. Last year, I signed 9,387 books. I gave out over 15,000 of my author cards. That means I talked to somewhere around 20,000 people in a whole bunch of states, in a whole bunch of places, of a whole bunch of income levels, genders, creeds, races, ages, you name it. And I will tell you one overriding, absolute, unequivocal thread that ran through virtually all of these people, 98% of them. And that was that they were pissed off. That's right, I talked to 20,000 people in the past year and in the year before that. And literally 19,500 of them were pissed off. And you know, when you get that kind of flavor going, then they are for the guy with the crane and the wrecking ball. And that's why I was quite certain Trump would win. And of course, he did. I told you that debt, unfortunately, would surpass our primary national debt, would surpass $20 trillion. Yes, unfortunately, it has suppressed $20 trillion, boy, that's scary, dollars. I told you several years ago, and through last year and at the end of last year, that Benghazi would reemerge as a major issue. And it did in this election. It was overshadowed by the emails and Hillary's server. But nonetheless, Benghazi was a thread which wove through the entire campaign, and I think motivated many Trump supporters and played a role in the undermining of Hillary and her loss in the election. Gun control. I told you that Obama would do everything in his power to implement gun control behind the scenes, and he did. He had executive orders. They had Operation Choke Point, where the Department of Justice literally was going to banks and telling them that they would suffer consequences if they continued to finance or even have accounts with gun manufacturers, weapon shops, gun dealers, you name it. I've told you several times, and you can put it into the search bar, Social Security guns or veterans guns, that the administration, through the VA, through the Social Security Agency Administration, has enacted regulations which, number one, if you are a Social Security beneficiary and somebody else is picking up your check, somebody is handling your Social Security finances, you cannot legally own a gun anymore because you're not capable of owning a gun. If you're a vet and you've gone through any kind of psychological assistance program for PTSD and a whole bunch of other things, I mean, it's like a long list, you can't have a gun because you're not stable enough to have a gun. And there's been a number of these. I told you this is 4 or 5 months ago. Once again, you can type it up in the search bar. The ATF tried to impose regulations on ammunition manufacturers. In other words, you know, it, since we can't shut down the guns, we'll shut down the ammo, which, of course, shuts down the guns. So, unfortunately, I was right on that, but what's great is Trump will roll most of that back. I told you that China would get increasingly aggressive in Obama's last year. And, boy, you know, you've now heard, I was one of the first to beat the drums on this, you've now heard what's happening in the South China Sea. You know, remember what I said at the beginning of the show about conflict is a combination of military might and economic might? Well, you know, China is gearing up for an arm wrestling contest with the United States, militarily and economically. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out in the first year of the Trump administration. But trust me, China will test us more, particularly since they've basically had their way with us here in the last year. Iran. I told you Iran would continue to thumb their nose at us, break this terrible nuclear agreement, and continue to gird for war, particularly against Israel, and manufacture or continue to build nuclear weapons capabilities, and in concert with North Korea, to continue to work on the delivery systems for those nuclear capabilities. And, of course, all that has occurred. North Korea, I told you they would test us. And, of course, you know, they have missile tests going on. They have their submarine, their first nuclear submarine firings. I've had all this on my shows. But, you know, they've been pushing the envelope, too. I told you Obama would continue to degrade the military. And, in fact, he has done that with more social experimenting programs and the military paying for transgender operations and, you know, touchy-feely and mandatory women in combat. And the list is endless. The list is endless. And it's culminated by the fact that 2 weeks ago, as I reported, he actually gave an address, a commencement address, in which he reminded the military personnel that he was talking to that it was their duty to question authority, of course, referring to the incoming Trump administration. In other words, basically telling up-and-coming soldiers that it's okay to mutiny. Okay. And then, of course, I told you that the Obamacare deferrals, all the, first of all, you start off with an illegal and unconstitutional law, and then you illegally and unconstitutionally defer certain aspects of that law for political purposes, such as the mandates, some of the special taxes, all that kind of stuff. And then they all come home to roost. You can't defer them anymore. And 2016 was the year they were going to come home to roost, and I told you that Obamacare would begin to collapse. Insurance companies would start to pull out. Rates, premiums, and deductibles would go through the roof. That is, unfortunately, or maybe in the case of Obamacare, fortunately, exactly what occurred. I told you that interest rates would rise. Now, I'm going to give myself a C on that one, not an A. The preceding list, I think, was somewhere between a B plus and an A plus. But I'm going to give myself a C because interest rates did rise, but they rose minimally. And they rose minimally because Janet Yellen is a political animal, the head of the Fed, and because she didn't want to rock the boat prior to the election because Janet Yellen was all about Hillary Clinton getting in. Janet Yellen is the establishment. Hillary Clinton is the establishment, and Donald Trump is not the establishment. Janet Yellen is a globalist. Donald Trump is a national populist. And so interest rates were held artificially down for a number of reasons, one of them being political. Interest rates now have risen. In fact, they rose a quarter of a point here in the last several weeks, and they rose a quarter of a point early in the year. But I expected more rises than that. I told you the stock market was likely to go down. Obviously, the stock market has gone up. Now, As part of my prognostications for 2017, I'm going to make the same prediction. Stock market's going to go down. However, for 2016, I get an F on that one. An F. Because the stock market has rocked and rolled. Although I think a lot of it has to do with the artificial bubble created by the Fed keeping interest rates low. The two are interrelated. I told you that oil prices would increase significantly. Now, we can all argue about the word significantly, but I'm going to be absolutely upfront and honest with you. Significantly, to in my mind, was to 60, 70, 80 bucks a barrel, $3 or more at the pump, and it didn't happen. They did go up. They went up from a low of, you know, $20 to $25 a barrel to currently in the neighborhood of $50 a barrel. I mean, that's still a 100% increase. However, it's not the increase I expected. You know, gas is up about 36 cents a gallon from this time last year. I sincerely thought it would be up a dollar or more per gallon. So I'm going to have to give myself a D on that one. However, I'm going to make the same prediction for this upcoming year. And, in fact, I'll start off with that as a segue into my predictions for 2017. I think oil will increase dramatically this year. And by dramatically, I didn't quantify it last year, so I'm going to quantify it for you this year. I think you will see $70 to $80 minimum barrel per oil, $70 to $80 per barrel of oil by the end of 2017. I think you will see fuel prices above $3 at the pump. Why do I say this? Because of the instability in the Middle East, because of what I think is going to happen with Iran. I'll be talking about that here in just a moment. And because there's a lot of countries, Venezuela, Russia, Iran, even Saudi Arabia, because their cash has been so depleted over the past few years. There's a lot of countries that need the price of oil to go up. And if they can create mischief to increase the price of oil and at the same time achieve other ideological or geopolitical gains at the expense of their enemy, America, they will take the opportunity to do so. Interest rates. I think you're going to see interest rates rise at least a full point this year. Not a half point, but at least a full point. Maybe more. There are inflationary pressures in the economy right now, only because of the bubbles which have been created, not because the economy is bubbling along, and that's no pun intended. I think you are going to see the economy pick up considerably under Trump. And part of that is because you're going to see his new tax plan at least mostly enacted, not totally, but mostly enacted. You're going to see trade agreements revamped. You're going to see jobs come back to the United States. You're going to see $2 to $3 trillion repatriated into the United States with 10%, give or take, of that money going into the inner cities, huge construction projects. You're going to see the infrastructure deal that he wants to get going, $1 trillion. You're going to see that go. And by the way, I think I'm going to predict that he's going to very cleverly include the wall, which is going to get built. He's going to include the wall down there in that funding and in that bill. Although I think in the end he will get Mexico to pay for it, working with trade and balance. In other words, we'll pay for it, we'll get reimbursed by Mexico either immediately or over time. And he's going to get the Democrats to go along with that by putting into the infrastructure bill, which many of the Democrats have foolishly already come out and said that they will work with him on and support. I think that within a year, if he gets most of the stuff done that he wants to get done, the first Supreme Court appointments, the 100 current vacancies on the federal judgeships, the tax deal, the wall deal, the infrastructure deal, the rebuilding the military deal, I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. If he gets most of these major initiatives done or well underway, I would not be surprised, and if Hillary is not pardoned by Obama, I would not be surprised to see a year down the road a special prosecutor appointed for Hillary, and perhaps, gasp upon gasp, and hooray upon hooray, a special prosecutor perhaps appointed for Barack Obama. Investigation of criminal fraud and treason. I would not be surprised at all. You know, I think Donald Trump is most dangerous when he says nothing. I mean, I think when he's tweeting away and trying to establish a platform for negotiations or doing his thing, you can kind of see where he's coming from, you can see where he's going. But I think when he's silent on something, I think then you really have to look out. And, you know, he's been really silent on Hillary since she and her campaign came out for the Electoral College, throw the spaghetti at the wall deal and the recount deal. And he's been amazingly quiet on the treachery of Barack Obama in this transition, some of which, I mean, just a pittance of which I reviewed for you earlier in the show. And being a businessman myself, understanding how that mentality works, I would not be surprised to see some rather incredible things happen with some of these people. I would not be surprised to see some of those people who sorely need it in the IRS indicted. Lois Lerner, the head of the IRS, who is unbelievable. All his henchmen. Who knows what might happen with the outgoing people at the EPA. By the way, I think that the EPA, I think that Pruitt will be, I think all of Trump's cabinet appointments will be approved, will be installed. I think some of them will get raked over the coals a little bit, but I think Pruitt, for the EPA, when he's done with the EPA, I'm being a little facetious here, it'll be him and a secretary. That's what'll be left of that agency. And isn't that great? Isn't that great? I think you're going to see Trump very cleverly introduce the idea of term limits in his first year. And what he's going to do, you know, the chance of getting a term limit deal passed by the Congress, you know, some of these old fogies, some of these rhinos like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who've been there like since the dinosaurs, the chance of getting Congress to approve that stuff are remote. But I'll tell you what Trump will do. He'll very cleverly use Congress's reticence in getting term limits approved to incite the American population on his other programs. You mark my words, he will use term limits as a lever to get other things done. I almost guarantee you that one. I think you're going to see economic growth like you have not seen at all in the last 8 years. I'm not sure it's going to hit 4%, but I think we will actually get over 3% for the first time since George Bush left office. It certainly didn't happen during Barry's reign of terror. I think you're going to see like nuclear winter on the immigration scene. The wall's going to go up. The 890,000 estimated illegal alien felons in this country are going to be hunted down, arrested, and thrown out of the country, or incarcerated, or killed. And good riddance to them. I think you're going to see the visa program that's been sadly misused for decades, completely overhauled. I think you're going to see sanctuary cities, I mean, I think you're going to see a mallet come down on their heads. And if they don't go along, they're going to go broke. And they're not going to get any help from the federal government, no matter how much they whine and cry. And the American people are going to be all behind it, other than a portion of the populations in those sanctuary cities. I think you're going to see the rebuilding of the military. But however, I think you're going to see a whole new era in a cut in waste, fraud, abuse, lack of bidding, and overspending. I mean, we're going to get a lot more bang for the buck in the military, and that is going to exponentially increase the growth in the military. You're going to see some kind of showdown with China. Economic and perhaps even military. Going to be very interesting. I don't know how it's going to come out. I'm not going to prognosticate. My opinion is, depending upon its timing, America will prevail, at least mostly. But it's going to be very interesting to watch. It's definitely a danger point. But it's a danger point that has to be confronted, and the sooner we confront it, the less dangerous it is. The same with Iran. I think you're going to see the gauntlet thrown down by the Trump administration on Iran. I think you're going to see that deal dismantled, and who knows what else might occur relative to Iran. I would not put out, to be honest with you, a first strike on Iran and North Korea to remove entirely and once and for all their nuclear capabilities. If you want to make sure somebody can't build a nuclear bomb, then you destroy their ability to build a nuclear bomb. It's kind of like a terrorist, you know? If you want to make sure a terrorist isn't going to commit terror, you kill them. Then they can't commit terror. It's kind of 2 + 2 = 4. It's water runs downhill. It's kind of Wyoming hayseed pragmatism. If you have a threat, you remove it, and then you don't have a threat. That could happen. And if so, to be honest with you, I'd be all for it. I think you're going to see the progressives and the Democrats, and this is going to be my last prognostication. I think you're going to see them continue incredibly to double down on the false promises, the rhetoric, the policy of division, the politics of division, that lost them this election, that has lost them 1,049, whatever it is, seats in state legislatures, governorships, Congress, the Senate, across the United States for the past 8 years. You know, Barry thinks he's going to be living a mile from the White House and has already said he's going to be very active, contrary to any other past president. And he's going to be addressing these things. He's going to be training. He's going to be community organizing. He's going to be bringing up young Democrats. He's going to be doing this, that, and the other. Young progressives, actually, was his word. And you know what? That's great. And old Nancy Pelosi got reinstalled as a minority leader in the House. That's great. I know a lot of you folks out there groaned and went, oh my God. No, folks, it's great for us. I want to see Nancy on TV spousing her nonsense every day. And I want to see Barack Obama spousing his radical ideas and what is now, we all know, his falsehoods every day. Because every time those guys open their mouth, every time the progressives double down on the stuff which has dug the hole they find themselves in now, the national populist movement, I don't mean Trump, I mean the national populist movement, is going to grow. And the support for the progressives is going to diminish. It's never going to go below 30 or 35% because 30 or 35% of the country is truly progressive. But I'll tell you what, it's going to go way above 50%. And the Dems, i.e. the progressives, are going to be doing it for us. As I said in my show, I believe 4 or 5 weeks ago, you can Google, I think it was 1 or 2 shows after the election. Thank you, Barry Obama, because you won the election for Trump. And you know what? If these guys keep yapping and these guys keep doing and not doing what they haven't done and what they've done, they are ensuring a conservative majority in state legislatures, governorships, Congress, the Senate, and even the presidency for many years to come. Because the coalition, which is the national populist movement, what Bill Clinton and Barry Obama call the angry white guys, but which in reality is men and women of all ages and of all regions and all locations and all income levels and increasingly more minorities. Remember, 27% of the Latino vote and 20% if you count the blacks who did not vote, which was a vote for Trump. 20% of the black vote in this last election, you're going to see this coalition grow. And the more successful Trump is, the more it's going to grow. And the more the progressives stay with the same themes, which people are absolutely disgusted and tired of, the more it's going to grow. And you start putting a combination of those elements together, Trump's success, which is really what the progressives are scared of, and the progressives being progressives, and you're going to see, shall we say, a new morning in America. I kind of like it. So that, folks, is my predictions for 2017. Oh, one more prediction for you Threads West fans. Three Threads West books 4, 5, and 6, March, May, and June. Get ready. Polish up them reading specs. That's another prediction, by the way, for last year that you ought to give me a D on. Yeah, okay. Just being honest. Being honest with my listening public. I wish you all the most happy, healthy new year you've ever had. I hope you achieve your dreams. I hope you set new goals. I hope you enjoy what I believe is going to be a resurgence in American values and American spirit. I hope you can capitalize on that for the good of yourself, your country, and your family. And I wish you the very best. Thanks for listening to On the Right Side Radio and me this past year. Godspeed.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.